Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podcast 1000 Holds. I got a lot to talk about this week, so this one-man band episode may be a little longer than I've done in the past, but here we go. June 9th in Osaka, Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling presented one of their signature shows. It's called Dominion in Osaka Joe Hall. This year is called Dominion 6.9 because it happened on June 9th. Last year was called, or 2 years ago, was called Dominion 6.19 because it happened on June 19th. So you see how they title these. It was a great card, 9 matches, and headlined, of course, by the 4th match in the series of Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada. And we'll get to that. Opening contest, Suzuki Gunn, El Desperado, and Kanemaru defending their IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships against Roppongi 3K, Sho and Yo with Rocky Romero in their corner. So I thought it was a great opening match. A lot of good action. The tag champs retained after a referee distraction, and Sho was hit with the whiskey bottle, and Desperado got the 3 count. Second up, we got Juice Robinson and Dave Finley against Yoshihashi and the IWGP United States Champion Jay White. The U.S. title and the NEVER Openweight 6-Man Tag titles were the only two New Japan sanctioned titles that were not defended. Juice Robinson is just coming into his own right now. I mean, he really has been for the last several months. He's entertaining. He's energetic in the ring. He's the king of trash talk. And him and David Finley picked up the win once again, showing that Juice Robinson's U.S. title match coming up against Jay White is going to be one to watch. Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr., the Rev Pro British Tag Team Champions, wrestled the Rev Pro British Heavyweight Champion Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano. Watching Ishii and Suzuki just beat the tar out of each other is fantastic. If you remember back at Long Beach in March, in a tag match there, they just beat the tar out of each other. And then once again, they did it tonight. I really can't get enough of it. I mean, even after the post-match, after it was over, Ishii and Suzuki continued to just murder each other. And then once separated, Suzuki beat up a couple young boys. They had it coming. You know, they looked at him. And I think coming up here on one of the World of the Worlds in the UK, we're going to see Ishii defend his Rev Pro British Heavyweight Championship against Suzuki. So that's one match I can't wait to see once they put that on New Japan World. Watching Zack Sabre Jr. stretch people and transition from hold to hold is literally like watching a master at work. It's crazy how good he is and how much of an asshole he can be, just grinding in these holds in people's joints and putting an elbow in your back or in your side or in your pit. I mean, it's just crazy. And then watching Sabre and Suzuki double team one guy transitioning from hold to hold is just, God, it's amazing. You watch Sabre, you know, bending this guy's arms and neck up while Suzuki's bending up his legs and ankles, and then they literally kind of like roll down to each side. So now Suzuki's beating up his arm and neck and shoulders, and Sabre's got, you know, leg locks and ankle locks and joint locks on the lower half of the body. It's just crazy. The finish came when Yano tried his signature low blow on Sabre, but Sabre trapped his leg with his calves and then tied up both his arms into a submission, which Yano had to verbally submit. Next up, a triple threat match. The NEVER Openweight Championship is Hiroki Goto defending against Michael Elgin and Taichi. I actually thought Taichi was going to get the win in this one. Seems to be getting some a good level of push this year. And unlike WWE triple threat matches, they don't have one guy lying on the floor for 10 minutes while the other two beat each other up. So that was nice. It was fast-paced, all three guys in the ring for the majority of it. You know, one guy would take a powder for like 30 seconds here and there, but for the most part, it was just all three of them going at it. Ref got distracted by Tai Chi's valet, and he struck both Elgin and Goto with a microphone stand. However, it didn't matter. Elgin buckle-bombed Tai Chi, and then he buckle-balled him again into Goto, who was standing in the corner, and then he hit a sit-out powerbomb on Tai Chi, winning the title and ending Goto's 156-day reign as champion in a rare match in Japan where the champion was not pinned. Next up, match 5, the Young Bucks defeated Evil and Sonata to win the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. And, you know, around the world, the Bucks have won, like, the Ring of Honor, the Chikara. You know, they've won heavyweight titles in other promotions. But in New Japan, they were still looked at as being the juniors, still looked at as being the little guys, which is not a knock at them in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion. But in New Japan, it's just, you know, they take their weight classes seriously, I guess. So seeing them step up and getting their first ever title match as heavyweights, because they did have a title match as junior heavyweights against the heavyweight champions a while ago, but seeing them get their first match and pick up the titles, it was great. I was rooting for them from the beginning. It was a fantastic match. Started out with the Bucks in firm control, and then Nick kicked the ring post and injured his foot for the rest of the match. If you couple Nick's foot injury and Matt's back injury going all the way back to the Dome Show in January, you know, these guys just know how to tell a story. You know, when Evil and Sonata, when they wrestled KES and won the titles at the Dome, they got the shit beat out of them for the entire match. And then just somehow managed to get the victory. In this, the Young Bucks were in firm control at the beginning until Nick kicked the ring post, and then Evil and Sonata took over, and then they were in firm control for a few minutes, and then the Bucks took back over, and then, you know, they went for the Indie Taker, but, you know, Matt was able to get Sonata up, or Evil up, but Nick could not get the springboard to help with the tandem Tombstone Piledriver. He fell off the top rope because of the injury to his foot. So Evil and Sonata took over again, and then the Bucks made their comeback, and they went for their old classic more bang for your buck. You know, Matt did the front senton roll with Sonata on his shoulders. Nick managed to come off the top for a 450 splash. Nick did his moonsault, and they got the 1-2-3. You know, legit best tag team in the friggin' world right now is the Young Bucks. No one is better. The closest team I can think of is the Revival that I know of, that I watch with consistency. And they're being treated like such friggin'... like they've got some sort of contagion that it's a shame. They were killing it in NXT. They come up to the main roster. One gets injured, then the other gets injured. And to me, they're just... you know, they're not doing the tag team division rights up on Raw and SmackDown either, but... just kind of sucks. They almost need to go back to NXT so we can get back to seeing some great tag team wrestling. Post-match, Matt Jackson invites Don Callis to do color commentary at All In. So hopefully they are going to be broadcasting it. They're putting it on pay-per-view or iPay-per-view or whatever streaming format they're going to use. Maybe it'll be on New Japan World. I don't know, but I'm hoping to see it. Six-man tag action, Jushin Thunder Liger, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Rey Mysterio Jr., who's making his New Japan debut, which shocks me to say, against the never-open-weight six-man tag champion in Marty Scurll, Adam Page, and Cody Rhodes. Another great, fast-paced match. Rey Mysterio, for as much as I hated him for how crappy he became after he won the Royal Rumble and just was basically a joke, since his return at the Royal Rumble this year, and from what I've seen of him wrestling this year, it's like back to watching Rey Mysterio from ECW and early WCW days before he lost his mask. I'm actually enjoying him. Finish came here when Cody hit the crossroads on Liger for the pin. Next up, we got one of our first of three big matches of the evening. Hiromu Takahashi, the New Japan Cup Junior, the Super Junior Cup winner, challenging Will Ospreay for his IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. You know, this match was just as fantastic as I thought it was going to be. You know, they jump started it right at the bell. They did this spot where Hiromu was standing on the floor, Ospreay comes running down the entrance ramp and does this front flip senton dive where he basically wipes out Takahashi in the face and then lands 10 feet behind him on his feet, crashes. I mean, if you haven't seen this, you need to see this. Mr. Lariato has got a gif of it. For those of you that may remember when Rob Van Dam did his front senton dives onto Bam Bam Bigelow into the crowd at ECW, bigger than that. I mean, just bigger than that. Ospreay pulled the floor mats at one point, and then later on took the sunset powerbomb onto the floor although half of them did hit the mats, which I can't blame him because he shouldn't be taking that bump on the concrete. No one should be. You know, Takahashi just, you know, when he won the title the first time, I think the first time he held the championship, it was a, hey, you know, good job on your excursion. You did a great job. Here's the title for a little while, just to, you know, as a congratulations. Almost kind of like the first time Ric Flair won the NWA championship. It wasn't a long run. It was more like a, here you go, see what you can do with this. And I think that's what happened with Hiromu Takahashi. You know, he had like a five month reign with it the first time around, and I think this time he's going to have a much longer run with the championship. Oh yeah, the finish came. Sorry, finish came when Takahashi hit his time bomb. Next up, the IWGP Intercontinental Championship as Tetsuya Naito defends against Chris Jericho. You know, when they announced this match, they said it was going to be a title match. Jericho even said he was going to become a 10-time Intercontinental Champion. And then I remember then at the beginning, Kevin Kelly said it was non-title. Because Naito was bringing the belt to the ring, but, you know, he did that gimmick where he drags it behind him, of course, and then he just dropped it in the center of the ramp and just kept walking and... Yeah, I like Naito a lot. I hate how he treats the titles. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's because I'm one of the few people that I know that still thinks the championships mean something, but they mean something to me. Like, I don't know. I think they're important. I think they're not props. I don't think... I think it's why I'm offended when someone like Jinder Mahal is a WWE champion for 6 months. I think it's why I'm offended when someone like Roman Reigns is continuously pushed towards the title. I think that's why I'm offended when someone like Brock Lesnar is the champion, which I don't have a problem with him being champion. I have a problem with how he's never on TV. Like, he's been the champion out of the WWE for like 438 days now, exceeding CM Punk's run as champion. But we've only seen him wrestle on TV 7 times. Yes, I saw him at a house show. He's done more house shows this year than he's done pretty much combined since his return. But he's the Universal Champion. He's the champion on Raw. And his last match on Monday Night Raw was in 2002. So, make of that of what you will. But, yeah. I don't know. I feel like they haven't held the title this long just so they can say, hey, CM Punk, you're no longer the longest reigning WWE champion of the last decade, but of the modern era, as they like to call it. But then you got a guy like Pete Dunne, who's been the UK champion now for almost 400 days, and he's defended the title more on TV than Brock Lesnar has. And the UK title isn't defended on TV that much. He's, you know, anyways, I'll get to that one. I'm talking about New Japan right now, which is producing the greatest wrestling in the world. So Jericho jumps in before Naito even gets to the ring. And Naito's in his full white suit. And they rustle around on the floor for quite a while. Jericho sets up a table, power bombs Naito through the table onto the floor. And again, we haven't even had the bell yet. Jericho then gets him up onto another announce table and DDTs him on it. And the table didn't break. It didn't budge. And Naito did literally a freaking headstand on the table. It just looked so sick. Then they finally get in the ring. The bell rings, and immediately Jericho goes for a cover, and Naito kicks out at 2. He's got some hard way bleeding going on, probably from the back of his head, because you can see on the back of his suit shirt or jacket or vest, whatever it is, it's got some blood on it. There was no crimson mask. No one was gushing blood in this match, like when Naito got busted open in Fukuoka a few weeks back. But both Jericho and Naito had hard way blood. Naito has busted open under his eye, right under his eye, which is an odd place. And yeah, but it was just, that's how hard hitting the match was. I mean, this was like an old school, like Memphis, just brawl. And I think at one point they announced that it was no DQ about midway through. Also, they suddenly announced midway through that it was for the title. So Naito makes his comeback, spits in Jericho's face, and launches in some pretty rapid offense. Gives him a wicked, sick neck breaker. Where Naito lands on the floor while Jericho on his feet, whereas Jericho takes the bump on the apron. And then he chokes out Jericho for a while with his pants, brings him back over, grabs a piece of the broken table that he was powerbombed through, and just numbs Jericho over the head with it, not once, but twice. Not going to see that in the WWE. Then he gets Jericho up onto the table that he was DDT'd on, and Naito pile drives him onto the table, and again, the friggin' table doesn't break. You know, I don't think I've ever seen Naito take a beating like this, just like I've never seen him dish out a beating like this. And Jericho was definitely a stiff bastard in this, but Naito finally gave it right back to him and gave him his receipt. Another sick part in the match is Naito is going for an Avalanche Frankensteiner, and Jericho reverses it into a Gonzo Bomb, which I'm pretty sure was accidental but looks sick, and then walked him right into the walls of Jericho. Later on, they did botch the Destino spot, but they recovered well enough to make it look good. And then Naito hit his Destino, but couldn't get the cover straight away. And then Jericho pushed Red Shoes away, and then hit low blow on Naito, and then hit him with a Codebreaker for the pin. Post-match, after they awarded him with the title, Jericho still just continues his attack on Naito, beating him down again, hits him with a title belt, takes his belt off, starts whipping him with his belt, and Evil makes the save, which I was really shocked because, you know, it's Evil. If you look at Evil and Sonata, to me, Sonata's your world champion, not Evil, but that's just me. Jericho looks like he's having a lot of fun being an asshole, old school heel. Looks like he's having a lot of fun. Great match. They went about 17 minutes, and you need to watch it. That's all I can say is you need to watch it. Main event. No time limit. 2 out of 3 falls match for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. This match is over 1.5 years in the making. Because for me, it doesn't go back to Wrestle Kingdom last year in 2017 in the Dome. It goes back to 2016, the G1 Climax, where Kenny Omega wins the tournament and wins the right for his match at the Dome 2 months later. And the story starts. And we get to the Dome. They have a 6-star match. It's unbelievable. Okada retains the IWGP title. Not convincingly, but definitely retains the title. They have a rematch 6 months later in Dominion at Sokka Joe Hall. They go to a 60-minute time limit draw. Okada definitely looked like the fresher man at the end, but even then, he couldn't get the win over Omega. Fast forward to the 2017 G1 Climax Tournament, the one that Naito would actually go on to win. And Omega and Okada, they have a 30-minute time limit. They go at each other like they're going to be run, like they're waiting for a pull apart to happen, because they're going to be out of energy in 3 minutes. And they just go to town. And Omega, with the constant onslaught of offense, gets the win in 25 minutes to advance in the tournament. Well, to get the 2 points in the tournament over Okada and to eventually advance to the finals against Naito. And now the series is tied up at 1-1-1. Now, both guys kind of go their separate ways. They have their own things going on. Kenny's got some issues in the Bullet Club with, and then the Young Bucks, and then Ibushi coming back, and then him and Ibushi get back together and reunite the Golden Lovers. And Okada's going against now Naito, and he's pushing towards his match with Tanahashi because he's, you know, already the longest reigning single run reigning IWGP champion. Now he wants to get the most title defenses in one reign, and the magic number is 12. So they both have go their own way. But in the background, no one stops talking about the 1-1-1. The 1-1-1. How nothing has been settled between the three of them. They both got a win, and they got that 60-minute time limit draw. And, like I said, the Golden Lovers reunite. The Golden Lovers against the Young Bucks get a 5-star match at Long Beach, which, tremendous match. It is literally unbelievable. And finally, Okada can declare himself the greatest IWGP champion of all time because he defeated Tanahashi, and he is now has the most title defenses in one reign. And at the end of the match, typical, someone comes out to challenge the champion. Who's going to be the next challenger? That's how it's done in Japan. And nobody comes out. Okada even says, "Who's going to challenge me?" And nobody comes out. So Okada makes his own challenge. And he challenges Kenny Omega. And Omega answers the call. And then they make the match. No time limit. 2 out of 3 falls. Dominion 6-9 in Osaka Joe Hall. And there you go. The stage has been set. So straight away, you know they have to go more than 60 minutes because we have that 60-minute time limit draw, and they make the point of being a no time limit match. If they go less than 60 minutes, they're robbing the fans. They go 65 minutes, basically. And that 5 minutes, perfect. This whole match, perfect. This is probably the greatest match I've ever seen in my life. Meltzer gave it 7 stars. I've yet to talk to anybody who's I know who's seen this match and said that they didn't like the match. Okada gets the first fall. I want to say it was about 25 minutes in. And it wasn't even in like a decisive victory. It's like he rolled him up and kind of schoolboyed and pinned him, whatever it is. He got him in a cradle and kind of got the fluke 3 count. But it didn't matter. He got the win, and now Omega's fighting back from underneath. You know, Omega comes back, gets that second fall about 20 minutes later. Whew. I mean, 20, 25 minutes later, he gets that second fall. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And now, again, they're tied at 1-1. And they managed to tell such an amazing story in this match. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it right now. The pace they kept in this match was not the pace of a match where they know they're going 60 minutes. It was the pace of the match where they're going 20 minutes or they're going 30 minutes, you know? They really were just such a fast pace, high impact. There's this one spot near the end of the match where Okada's face first kind of into the corner and onto the second turnbuckle, and Kenny hits him with a V-trigger, and oh my god, like, oh, the impact, crazy. Okada, the look on his face, you know this hurt him like a son of a bitch. But that far into the match, they're doing things like that. It's just kind of crazy. You know, finally, the finishing sequence is awesome. These two guys are exhausted. And I knew Okada, for me, when Okada went for the Rainmaker. And he hits Kenny with the Rainmaker. And then Okada falls down on the mat. And Kenny's still standing. To me, that's like, okay, Okada's done everything he can do. And even his most coveted finish is not going to get the job done. And it didn't, because 64 minutes and 50 seconds from the time the bell rang, or 45 seconds, Kenny hits the one-winged angel, and he pins Okada for a 3 count, ending the 720-day reign of Kazuchika Okada to become the new IWGP World's Heavyweight Champion. I cried. I'm not going to lie. I couldn't help it. It was just this whole story that I've been watching from the beginning, that I've been following, that I've been emotionally involved in, watching these guys have matches that just keep getting better and better and better and better somehow. And to have this match be the greatest match in the history of wrestling, let's just say, it has to be. Top five at least, but it has to be. And just the story they told, the emotion they put in there, you know, of Kenny finally winning the title, and finally ending Okada's reign. And Okada being the champion that he is not unbeatable. And the fact that the one-winged angel has never been kicked out of, I mean, it's a proven nobody's getting out of it. And I don't know, dude. It was tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. And when the Young Bucks came out and they are going to present Kenny with the title, and he kind of respectfully kind of pushes it aside but doesn't dismiss it, and he hugs Matt, and then Nick gets in on the hug, and then Kota gets in on the hug, and now everyone's bawling, and then Kenny takes his championship, and he's got his championship, and he's got his best friends, and it's amazing. And then in a moment reminiscent of WrestleMania 10, when in the opening match, Owen Hart beat his older brother, Bret Hart, to finally get out from under the shadow, but yet at the end of the main event, Bret Hart is the new WWF champion. And Owen comes out, and just the look on his face of, why are you still better than me? But Cody comes out, and has the same kind of moment of just him looking in the ring like he wants to be there, but he won't be there. And he leaves. Go spend the 999 yen. It's less than 10 bucks. I think it cost me 952 for the month of June. Watch this card. Not just the main event match. Watch this card. This card itself, top to bottom, was fantastic. This main event match is the greatest match of all time. You really want to do yourself injustice, if you haven't seen them yet, go back, watch the other three matches first. Then watch this match. Feel the story that, like, everyone else has. It's just unbelievable. It is literally the definition. It is not believable how great this story and how great these matches were. All right, let's talk a little WWE action, apparently. We got this weekend's a big weekend for WWE. We got NXT TakeOver in Chicago on Saturday night. We got a five-match card. We got Shayna Baszler taking on Nikki Cross for the NXT Women's Championship. We got Ricochet against the Velveteen Dream in a singles match, which should be excellent. The story they've been building up to this, Velveteen Dream is saying, anything you can do, I can do better. Ricochet does that amazing front flip from the ring to the floor and just goes, show me. Amazing. We got Aleister Black defending the NXT Championship against Lars Sullivan. I know a lot of guys don't like Lars Sullivan. I'm a big fan of his, so I'm excited to see this match. We have the Undisputed Era defending the NXT Tag Team Championships against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. I love Oney Lorcan. It's Biff Busick. He's a New England guy. Danny Burch is awesome. As a tag team, they're phenomenal. The Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, great tag team. This match should be tremendous. As much as I'd love to see Burch and Lorcan win the belts, I don't see it happening. And then the match that I don't know if it'll be the main event on the card, but it should be. Chicago Street Fight, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. I don't even think I just need to say any more than that. I feel like if you've been watching NXT, then you know the feud and the war these two guys have had and how long it's been going on. I mean, you can go back a year ago to their Cruiserweight Classic. Was it 2 years ago now, actually? To their Cruiserweight Classic match that was just, well, it was a classic. And yeah, then their unsanctioned match, you know, last time, the last takeover. I mean, you gotta watch these. I mean, this will be the third match, I guess, in their series. You gotta watch these. They're tremendous. The very next night, Money in the Bank in Chicago. 10 matches on their card. Let's get right to it. Daniel Bryan against Big Cass in a singles match. I don't know, Daniel Bryan needs to win, otherwise I don't care. Although I will say I've been enjoying Big Cass as a heel. I wasn't a big fan at first, but he's kind of been growing on me, and his character's been getting better and better. Seth Rollins defending his Intercontinental Championship against Elias. I think Elias needs to walk away with the title. The Bludgeon Brothers, Harper and Rowan against Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. We need new champions. We need the club to be the champions, and they need to hold them for a very long time, and that's the end of it. Roman Reigns against Jinder Mahal. Don't give a fuck. Carmella against Asuka for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Right now, for me, Carmella, her holding this title and getting wins over like Charlotte Flair, and if she somehow beats Asuka, it's the same thought of me when Jinder was champion, and you got a title that you don't have the best wrestler wearing the title. So Asuka needs to win this title. Nia Jax against Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship. I think you're going to be surprised in this one. I don't see Ronda Rousey walking away with the title straight away. I think Nia Jax is going to retain by DQ or countout, or Ronda's going to get herself disqualified for not breaking a hold. Jax is going to get herself disqualified for, you know, cheating, whatever it is. I don't see Ronda walking away with the title like this, just being her second singles match or second big match. I mean, the only other thing she's had is she works some house shows overseas, but yeah. AJ Styles against Shinsuke Nakamura in a last man standing match for WWE Championship. Okay, this match I cannot wait for. This match should be phenomenal. Pun not intended. And I think it's time Nakamura walks away with the belt. The feud can continue with Nakamura as champion, which I think will make it even better. Money in the Bank ladder match for the Women's Championship contract. Ember Moon against Charlotte Flair, against Alexa Bliss, against Becky Lynch, against Natalya, against Lana, against Naomi, against Sasha Banks. Well, about half this field I don't want to see win it. I wouldn't mind if Charlotte or Becky... Yeah, I guess I just want Charlotte to win, period. Yeah, that's what I'm going to stick with. I just want Charlotte to win. Money in the Bank, ladder match for the men's championship contract. Braun Strowman versus Finn Balor versus The Miz versus Rusev versus Bobby Roode versus Kevin Owens versus Samoa Joe versus the surprise member of The New Day. Honestly, except for whoever it is from The New Day, I don't care who wins this match. I would be happy if any of these guys won this match. I don't think Strowman needs to win. I don't think Joe needs it. I don't think Balor needs it. Miz has won it before, so it's always kind of cool to see him, because he's a good asshole heel type with it. I think I want Rusev to win this, but legitimately, any one of these guys, except for the New Day guy that wins this match, I'll be happy with it. Next up, not really next up, but NXT, or WWE that is going to be taping the United Kingdom Championship Tournament on Monday and Tuesday at the Royal Albert Hall in London, England. However, they're not going to air these until June 25th and 26th. So they're going to tape them and then wait a whole week before they air them. And I really wish they just wouldn't do that. I wish they just put them on the network and air them live. And then you'd have 4 days of WWE wrestling in a row with TakeOver, Money in the Bank, UK Tournament Day 1, UK Tournament Day 2. They've already been having some first-round matches that took place at the NXT tapings on May 10th and at the Download Festival on June 8th and 9th when NXT was running shows there over in the UK. The quarterfinals, semifinals, and championship match are going to take place on June 18th with some other matches on the card as well. And then June 19th has a day of matches. So far, in the opening rounds that were already taped or already aired or already happened, if you will, Zach Gibson defeated Amir Jordan to advance. Jack Gallagher defeated Drew Gulak to advance. Flash Morgan Webster defeated James Drake. Jordan Devlin beat Tyson T-Bone. Joe Coffey beat Tucker. Dave Mastiff beat Kenny Williams. Travis Banks beat Ligero, which I'm surprised that WWE used Ligero at one of the Download shows, but didn't have him on the actual 18th show. Anyhow, Ashton Smith beat Joseph Connors. So right now, the first round, or the quarterfinal round on June 18th, the 8 men involved are Zach Gibson against Jack Gallagher, Flash Morgan Webster against Jordan Devlin, Joe Coffey against Dave Mastiff, Travis Banks against Ashton Smith. Progress Wrestling is well represented in this tournament. So on the 18th, we're going to get those 4 matches, plus the two semifinal matches and the final match of the tournament. We're also going to get Isla Dawn versus Ginny versus Killer Kelly versus Toni Storm in a fatal four-way match to determine the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. And in the match that I'm looking forward to watching the most, the Undisputed Era of Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong taking on British Strong Style. Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, and Tyler Bate. I love this trio. I love watching them wrestle as a trio, British Strong Style. But this will be the first time in WWE TV we've seen them wrestle as a trio. So I'm very friggin' excited to see this. On the 19th, Pete Dunne's going to take on the winner of the United Kingdom Championship Tournament. Adam Cole's going to defend his North American Championship. Shayna Baszler's going to defend her NXT Women's Championship, if she's the champion, on Tuesday, after a takeover on Saturday, against the Fatal 4-Way. The Undisputed Era will be defending their tag team titles against Unknown. If I were to guess, I'm going to say it's going to be Mustache Mountain of Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, and I think we're going to see some new NXT tag team champions. That's just me. And then Aleister Black and Ricochet will be taking on EC3 and Velveteen Dream. So that should be a solid match. Now, Pete Dunne has been the NXT champion, WWE UK champion, for over a year now, since last May. And right now, in the last decade, he's number 3 on the list. It's Brock Lesnar at like 438 days, CM Punk at 434, and at the time of the list, it was Pete Dunne at 390 days. Me, personally, I think you take the belt off Lesnar, just keep this UK title on Pete Dunne for a few more months, and then make him the longest reigning champion, because he's the one that actually deserves it between him and Lesnar. You know, like I said, Lesnar's had 7 matches on TV and pay-per-view, whereas Pete Dunne has taken this title around the world for the last year plus, you know, marketing it, making it mean something, defending it in multiple countries and multiple promotions against multiple challengers. He's had fantastic matches in the WWE at the NXT TakeOver specials and on NXT itself. And personally, if they are starting a UK championship or UK television show, Pete Dunne's the guy I think they need to run with. And at least let that show start, and at least let them establish a contender there and have him lose the title. It would be a shame for him to hold the title this long and do this much with it, to make it mean something, and just to have him lose the title right before the TV show starts. But that's the shit WWE likes to do, so they can start fresh. I don't know. But anyways, I'd like to see Pete Dunne retain next week, especially seeing how it's taped. At least give him the honor, if he's going to lose the title, to have him lose the title on a live show that the world's watching, not something taped. Anyhow. So, yeah. Got some great wrestling coming up. I really wish these UK shows were airing next week instead of the week after, but it is what it is. Speaking of Adam Cole and the NXT North American Championship, it was announced that Evolve 107 on June 24th, my birthday, Melrose, Massachusetts, that Adam Cole will be defending that title against Walter. And I think Walter's going to murder him, but that's neither here nor there. I don't see the title changing hands on a house show, if you will, or even in another promotion. But I think it's really cool that, you know, WWE's having, like, Adam Cole do that. Just like they sent Cash Asono, a.k.a. Chris Hero, to the Super Strong Style 16 tournament for Progress. Speaking of Progress, for those of you that know, I have tickets to the Progress show August 5th down in Melrose, Mass. It's a double shot that day. Evolve is having a show earlier in the day. Progress is having a show that night. And I'm really, 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 really hoping that Toni Storm is at that show, because I really want to meet her and I want to see her wrestle live and in person. All things have been saying that she's signed with WWE, and it really seems like it, because, well, I mean, we saw her in the women's tournament last year, and she didn't sign with them then, but she had some obligations with Stardom over in the UK. And Oh, okay, well, it says here, I guess I'm reading now, May 24th, 2018, Dave Meltzer reports that Storm signed a WWE UK contract, which, okay, that lets her work indie shows. Okay, I'm feeling, I thought it would be a full-time contract with her going to the Performance Center and on and on and on. But anyway, so recently, Toni Storm has been losing some of the championships that she's held for such a long time. Like, she was the first ever Progress Women's Champion, and she held that title for 357 days, just 1 week shy of a year, when she lost it at Chapter 69 to Ginny in a garbage match, in my opinion. Just like over in World of Stardom, she just lost, well, she's lost two titles this year. In March, she lost the SWA World Championship that she'd held for 612 days, going back to July 24th, 2016. And then the World of Stardom Championship that she held for 258 days, she just lost on June 9th in Stardom. So, yeah. I mean, I know when Toni Storm won the match, when she won the title back last September, it was actually kind of an unplanned match. What happened was is that I'm going to murder her name, but Iwatani legitimately dislocated her elbow, and the referee stopped the match and awarded the title to Storm. And apparently they must have thought, oh, well, shit, Toni Storm's awesome, so, because she was already held in the SWA World title, so they just, you know, she had a good 258 day run with it. But anyways, so she's losing her indie titles, which to me is saying that she's going to go full time to the Performance Center. But maybe it's just that UK contract, I don't know. But truthfully, even if she does go to the Performance Center, I just want to see her on that Progress show on August 5th first. That's what I'm hoping for. So, anyhow, thanks for listening. If I can't recommend enough to anybody, it's to watch more wrestling. And start with New Japan World. Catch up on Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada. And go get WWE Network just to watch Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, their trio of matches last year, starting with the UK tournament in July, Czech, January of 2017, their May Takeover match, and then last December on NXT. Those three matches those three guys had were fantastic. Anyhow, thanks for listening. If you have any comments, questions, whatever, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at SuperstarML. I closed the show's Twitter account. And make sure you check out my blog, The Wrestling Insomniac, for great insights, stories, thoughts, notions, reviews by me and my buddy Brandon. And thanks.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!